go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius, billionaire, playboy, philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd 2 podcast. We are a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam,
John,
and Sean.
How's everybody doing?
Oh, I got a question. Uh-oh. What Paradox game was that, John, you just played?
I brought my laptop to this occasion for some reason, firing up some Europa Universalis 4.
Nice.
It doesn't fit on my screen though, so like,
yeah,
you know what looks weird. One of their games you probably like is Hearts of Iron 4.
Can someone explain what this game is? Because I just
it is a grand map. Strategy game. It's
like Risk, but even more autistic.
Yeah,
basically that game is more important than our discussion about Bill Folds, Bill Money Clips,
Right. Because we're old,
wallets.
We're the
and
Knights
stuff.
Of Olditude today.
Yeah, apparently,
Knights of Washitude, right?
Yeah.
Do you know what that one means?
John is
just as much as I know topping now.
Yeah. Okay,
John's going through all of his young person lingo over here from the interwebs.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah. Anyway, tonight's episode, what we're going to do is the year end movie review or the year end roundup for 2019.
Year end
roundup.
And then we're also going to have.
By the way, we really need a soundboard.
Yeah. Not opposed.
Somebody
wants to start collecting cans.
Yeah, right.
We probably could all the bottles.
We could probably have bought an actual like radio station with the amount of beer we go through.
You're live on WNEWR, the Nerd.
That's valid. We're also going to do some Star Wars news. There was another thing in news.
I had some Jeopardy hot takes.
Jeopardy hot takes. New Mutants trailer, because Sean wants to talk about it for some reason. And then first, we're going to start off with 1917, the new movie that came out. It's been a long time since we've all seen a movie the week it came out.
And this one, it's literally to the day. We all, like, it came out today.
Yeah, it came out today. I saw it last night alone.
Early shows. And us three went with our dads.
Yeah.
Solid dad movie.
He did.
Yeah, all of our dads went. And our dad's friend, Dave.
Which is funny because my dad's Dave.
Yeah, so like there was a weird moment after the movie where it was like, Dave, this is Dave, 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 Dave.
After the movie, not before?
No, it was after.
Oh, okay.
It showed up in the trailers, which, by the way, we can't. 20 minutes of trailers, dude.
That's 19, way too much.
19 minutes of trailers. I timed it.
Yeah, we timed it too. It was 20 minutes.
How about
20 minutes for you guys? Yeah. Oh,
how about there being like a fake last trailer?
Yes, yes.
Is that the truck commercial?
No,
that was
like
it. That was well before.
There was a truck thing pulling out the MPAA rating. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is a great segue into the trailers. And then I was like, oh, no, 5 more minutes of commercials.
Yep, and then don't forget that showcase ad.
Yep.
Like, go get your soda. Oh, wait, did we mention we have soda? Oh, wait, this is another soda. Let me show you this. This is a Coke.
Didn't that happen halfway through our trailers?
Something like that.
Happened halfway through?
Yeah.
I had one in the beginning and one at the end.
Yeah.
Or one half. One halfway through.
Yeah.
One at the
halfway
end.
Through, I was like, okay, time for our feature present. What is this?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like another green screen. I was like, God damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I zoned out at that point.
After the fourth horror movie trailer, I kind of shut
down. It's like, hey, Sam, you ever hear of this movie called The Turning?
The Turning. That's the one that stuck out to me.
Just the past couple of months, I've always seen that trailer before the movie I've seen.
I don't think I've seen the trailer
before. I've
seen
before. It a bunch.
I'm kind of interested, but not really interested. Eh, whatever.
I hate that movie now.
That movie can go to hell.
Because of you, Showcase. Anyway, let's get into 1917.
Jump right in.
It is the new movie out of, I forget what studio it was, actually.
Universal. It was Universal and DreamWorks.
Universal DreamWorks, directed by Sam Mendes?
Yes.
That's how you pronounce it? Okay.
Mendes.
Sam Mendes, it takes place on, they gave us the exact date, April 6th, 1917.
Was it 6th or 26th?
It was single digit, I know.
Oh, okay, so it was 6th.
1917, and it's about like the trades, exactly like the trailers. We need to send two guys to send a message to halt an attack and save a bunch of lives.
I didn't see that in the trailers.
You didn't see that at all?
No, I just saw stuff happening. Great movie. See. I was like, all right. And then through word of mouth, I heard, oh, it's done as a one-shot. And I was like, well, now I got to see this, because how are they going to do a war movie as a one-shot? That's impossible.
So I had no idea it was a one-shot at all.
That's what made me go see this. Like,
at all.
You didn't
know
going in, or you didn't know?
I didn't know going in. I didn't know going in. I saw the trailer, and I'm like, ooh, war movie, 1916, World War One. Fine. Love it already. Not love it already, but I'm interested. Let's go see it. Didn't know it was a one-shot until probably about 35 minutes in.
Really?
Like, this movie.
We haven't let's guys.
How about we just, let's just get into it.
All right, go ahead.
This movie was fucking great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I do not like war movies, but I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
Like, the one shot worked perfectly for just building the tension.
It was perfectly done in the beginning. Mm-hmm. It was miles. You felt like it was miles of trenches.
Yeah.
And that's what it was in World War One. Right. But it's just
Like, the sets are just so cool.
It's beautiful. It's such a weird way that the way he wanted to shoot it perfectly lined up with the material he was shooting, or the story he was trying to go for.
Yeah.
It just worked. It worked incredibly well.
And so this is one thing that whenever I watch a one take, or supposed one take, I always look for the seams. Like just see, okay, where could they have cut it?
Mm.
That opening, I don't think I really saw a cut until there was that scene where the camera pans behind the mound of dirt and they're walking on the other side of it.
Yeah.
That was like the first time I was like, there's a part where you can cut it.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was like,
there's a couple.
There's a couple.
Oh, yeah.
Then you realize, oh, there's a cut right here. When the guy was climbing up to the truck, there was a cut there, and then there was the blackout, obviously.
That's the most obvious cut of the whole movie.
Yeah, but even then, you understood why he did it.
Right,
understood why he did it.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to do a two-hour one-shot.
No. This was the first movie that, right after the movie, I said, I need to watch the making of right now.
Yeah, I've seen some behind-the-scenes.
There's a few clips behind the scenes, and you just look at these guys talking about the way they had to do this, or the way they wanted to do this, and just the amount of work that you see them doing. It's like there's a track in one of the trenches, and it has a camera on it, but then there's two dudes who pick it up, carry it, and then bring it over to a crane lift, and the crane lift lifts it up, and then it goes wide.
It's practice. And multiple takes and stuff. It's strenuous. There's probably plenty of dry runs. It doesn't seem
like they're small takes either. And you have to do the long takes.
You have to do the long, but the big key behind all this stuff is continuity. And that's the hardest thing to do, especially with that much mud and blood.
Oh, on the actors themselves. Yes, yeah, definitely. Yes. I guess I was saying, there's so much going on that it's almost impossible to pick up continuity unless it was on something that's static.
Because, I mean, there's stuff that happens to the main character that, throughout the progression of the film, he either gets dirtier or cleaner or bloodier or whatnot. And just you have to pay attention to that stuff. I mean, there was a moment early on in the film that I was watching where they're both really, running through the mud, and I'm looking at their boots, 'cause I mean, that's where the focus of the shot was, but you see all that mud just caked on their feet. And I just think back how many times I've run through mud with shoes on, and how my feet have weighed 50 pounds afterwards. And I can only imagine not just these actors going through that, but also the soldiers who had to do this. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
After sleeping on the ground and eating rat meat.
Right.
Yeah.
World War One was not super fun.
No. But I think they got it. We all know about World War One, so we're not going to hash all that stuff, but I think they got a lot of that stuff down to perfection, particularly when It all says it in one scene where they climb over the wall first, and I think they land into one of the trenches, climb through a barbed wire,
like a crater,
and then they hide. And he's like, try to find cover. They stand up, and it's just flat ground with no trees, no nothing.
Yeah. Here's the
just the attention to detail in like especially the No Man's Land scene, where like you just look in the mud and you're like, oh, there's faces. That's a body part there. There's a face there, and it's all just rotted away. And it's,
and they're buried.
Different stages of decay. It's
the horses.
The
horses.
There's the one like horse. Bloated horse that they walk by, and then the second horse they come to. It's bloated, but it's got bones. It's, you know, you the face has been eaten away. But you said people know World War One. Too many times movies take place in World War II. Not many people know World War One, and that's the problem. There's a reason why Wonder Woman is the highest grossing World War One film of all time. Like, because nobody really... Whenever you're doing a war movie, it's like, well, what more do we do? Well, World War II had Nazis, and everyone knows Nazis are bad, so let's just do that one.
Well, it's more of a moving... It's more of a moving war than it was World War One,
right?
Obviously,
right. So it's easier to do a film for World War Two. Not many people know much about World War Two.
Yeah, I think it's like the story and the framing more than anything else.
Yes,
it's just it's a tough tale to just tell in like
concise story. It's also just incredibly depressing to talk about. Oh God,
yeah. Especially this film.
It's like just the combat itself is just like. Oh, this is just disgusting.
Like, could you imagine a HBO prestige drama about World War One in the trenches? It'd be like the worst show in the world.
Yeah.
Like, it could literally have everybody you'd ever want, and it'd be terrible, because it's like 90% of it is just guys sitting around.
Yeah,
true.
People's feet rotting away from boot rot.
Right.
Yeah, gas warfare and everything.
It's boring and incredibly depressing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really, and everything is brown.
Yeah.
But your costume, brown. The surroundings, brown. Like, I was amazed at the end when, like, the sand was white. I was like, ooh, that's different.
Okay, yeah. Okay. I don't want to say this because it's very insensitive to the thing, but that scene where he's running out the trench.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Oh, I loved
it. I hate this. Like, that. You shouldn't be saying that word with war, but it was
beautiful.
Kind of beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, it looked incredible.
Yeah. Well, it was because you're...
He's going... perpendicular with the troops, and he's running into the troops.
Just the scene itself.
Yeah.
Whereas you were started off, and they've been in this trench for a year and a half, and it's all mud
and
it's disgusting. Yeah, and then it's just brand new.
It's great contrast.
Yeah, it's green.
The beginning of the movie where you just get mud and brown.
Yeah.
And at the end of the movie, you get just bright green. You get white sand. Of the dirt. It's just a great contrast between the two.
I mean, beginning to end this movie, I mean, like I said, I'm not a huge fan of war movies. I could skip them and be fine with it. But once I heard this was a one shot, I had to watch it. And like, as an art, like, this was beautiful.
They delivered on that
thing. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, it was amazing. It was better than I could have possibly imagined. Because I mean, like, go back to the last true one shot that we had for like, that was up for Oscars, which was Birdman. Birdman's a good movie. The way that they filmed it was pretty good, but like there were a lot more obvious cuts in Birdman than there were in this. And this took place outside mostly.
Yeah.
And like barely
they had to wait for weather and everything.
Knew anything about these characters other than like the one whose brother was in the other, but I still felt for both of them. There was very little character development, yet there was a ton of character development.
I mean, there's like a visceral human connection where it's like, I can imagine how much this would suck.
Yeah.
I don't need to know a lot about you. I just understand. I feel sorry for
you. I mean, they become almost like an avatar as much as they are an actual character in the movie.
Yeah. Right, you know? Right. And like, I liked how every time they just like, they were around just collecting themselves, he always opened that tin and then closed it and put it away. And you really didn't understand what was happening. And it wasn't until the very end of the movie where he actually does open it and you find out what's inside of it. And
$1 million.
It kind of explains a lot about this movie.
He was a rich man the whole time.
Yeah.
See, I like
it's actually the Willy Wonka golden ticket.
Shared universe. I just hope it says Wonka and it's like a plan for a chocolate factory.
I,
Lieutenant Walker, get at me.
That's how it ends.
What I also really liked, and what they could have really botched this up. Not botched it up, but it could have gone in a way that I probably wouldn't have liked it. War movies do have slow periods, generally.
Yeah.
Generally. And in this case, I really love the timing of when he's like, all right, it's slowed down. Let's introduce these guys. So when... I don't want to spoil it, but there's a certain...
Well, we're going to...
After the plane crash...
I think it's
after spoiler. The plane crash, which you've seen in the trailer, there's a bunch of guys that show up after like quiet and, you know, dead silence and everything for a while. It's like, this is a good time to bring in extra. Mm-hmm. You know, let's give him a little push, you know? And that's what it seemed like. Every introduction of a new character, he got a little push further when things were starting to slow down a little bit. And I think that helped with pacing a lot. Granted, I think the fact that it was all shot in the one shot just made you literally sit there into it the whole time.
Oh, yeah. I was 100% invested. I mean, even after he meets with those guys and he has to cross the bridge, like, there's a gunshot in that scene, and I was like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? Right, like,
the first gunshot when he's crossing the bridge, you're like, oh, right, this is a war.
Yeah, like, that got me, and I was like, oh, man, what's going to happen
now? I think that might have been the first...
That was the
point
first,
where he actually got shot at.
The first gunshot is, spoiler, when they shoot the pilot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
After and then the stabby stabby.
Yeah. And then after that,
that's the first gunshot. But the first gunshot we hear from the Germans is when he's crossing the.
Oh man, this is such a good movie.
A lot of running away,
and then just that shot where after he wakes up after being concussed, and you see the flares in the ruined city.
Oh, that was beautiful.
That was a beautiful shot.
Oh my god, that was phenomenal. And like how you heard that roar. And you're like, but what's causing that giant light making that roar? Is it like a ton of tanks or like what's going on? And he steps out and it's just a giant building just falling on fire, creating all this light. And then all of a sudden you just see that silhouette because it's in the trailer. You're not spoiling anything, but you see that silhouette of that soldier and they're like, oh, hey, what's up? And he walks closer and he's like, oh, shit, no, you're bad. And you're like, oh, no, run away. Which,
the Germans in this movie have, like, stormtrooper-level
accuracy. Yeah. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
It's not good, but, you know, it's movies. Like, it's movies.
I'm not doing this as an insult, but it's, like, it's plot armor, because, like, if he gets shot, then, like, the movie's over.
Mm.
Like, we have nobody else to follow.
Early on in this film, the main character... Was it me, or did they play him off as the secondary character?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah,
and I loved that switch.
There were there was that fake out, and I'll do a little spoiler, but there was also the Cumberbatch fake out.
Yeah, you thought he was going to go Colonel Kirk.
Yeah.
And then he's just like, well, I guess we don't do this. And then it got like even more depressing than when he's just like, what's the point? We're just going to do this tomorrow.
Next
They're
week.
They're just going to say charge at dawn.
That just really hit home because if you know about all this stuff, it's like, that's like, exactly what happens. It's
the only way to take anything.
Just under two more, like 2 years left of this war.
Yeah.
And then at the very end with him talking to Rob Stark.
Yeah.
The brother.
Was that Rob Stark?
That was Rob Stark.
I knew they looked familiar.
That was tough, man.
Yeah.
The
end of this movie is like really good emotionally.
Oh yeah,
it's an
emotional roller. The whole movie is a ride. It's a roller coaster.
Because like you had some comedy in there. Like when they go into the German trenches, which I loved because like the first thing I noticed when they went into the German trenches, I was like, oh, these are nice.
That's actually true.
Yes,
very German. Yeah.
The and Germans, like, Germans,
they know how to trench. They're half dwarf.
+2 underground construction.
Yeah, but like that whole scene where he's like, they're looking at it, and he's like, even their rats are bigger. Like, it was just funny. There were some great comedic elements to this where it really, you know, it made it more human than like. If it was just all depressing.
Then, like, the trip line thing, that was great. Yeah. When the guy actually dies and it's, like, you know, like, he's trying to take him to a station. Then you see, like, he's getting, like, super white. And you're like, oh, this guy's going to die.
Yeah, I love that. Like, it really quick, like, I noticed that in his face. Like, as the scene progressed, he was getting whiter and whiter and whiter, which is awesome on your production department.
I mean, they must have done some CGI.
Oh yeah, that's got to be CGI because that's really tough to do,
especially with the one live shot the whole time.
Yeah,
I don't know. I thought this movie was great. I was a little not worried, but I was reading the things like, oh, 1917 won Golden Globes out of nowhere, right, and stuff. And
I was getting worried with all the buzz it was getting.
And now I definitely see why.
Yeah, it was pretty, I mean, I guess I'd say tepid reaction to a lot of the critics I saw. Like, some of the people I follow who usually seem to line up with were like, yeah, it's all right. And I guess I could see there's a part of me that's like, yeah, this isn't like incredible, but it is incredible. Like, it's the whole spectacle of it, like, just, you know, ups the ante on top of it too.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, because you don't see movies like this where, I mean, I don't think there's really much CGI in it. I mean, there might be like little things like that,
backgrounds and stuff. Backgrounds were CGI,
but like, I don't think, like, when you see all the guys like in the trenches and
yeah, I
like,
think those running were all extras.
That last scene, I'm pretty sure they're all.
Extras. Oh, those are all extras. I saw the making of it behind the scenes. Those are extras.
I was joking with Sam afterwards. I was like, just imagine them doing that scene with the extras, but it's like that level from Call of Duty. The Russian level where it's like the first man gets the gun, the second man gets the bullet.
When you know,
the
that's first a movie, right?
What?
Yeah, Enemy at the Gates.
Yeah, I know, but like, I just think of that level of that game.
Right, but it's literally the movie.
I know, yeah, but that movie's like about sniping.
And also, well, I think that's like an actual event.
Yeah.
And I think that Russians were doing that.
Stalingrad?
For sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a sniper.
They were
battle.
Like, okay, one of you gets a rifle, other gets the ammo.
When the first one dies, the second one picks up the gun and keeps going. Which is a very depressing thing to say to people.
Almost as depressing as this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie,
I don't know. I'd say this movie's depressing. I think like there's parts that hit you for sure.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's definitely.
Certainly emotional.
Like, it's somber.
The movie. Scene with the girl and the baby.
Yeah, that was a great note.
Like, yeah,
to play that, because you need something that's not like an adrenaline rush. Like, you can't do that for 2 hours.
Glad they put that in there. And you're right.
But like, that scene makes the final shot make more sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. Wait, yeah, hang on.
She asks him, do you have kids?
And he doesn't answer her.
Oh, I thought he said no. Okay.
No, he never answers her. And like, but he's still playing with like talking and focusing on the kid. But like the whole like, oh, are you this kid's mom? No. Who is the mom? I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, God damn.
She can't and have it's just that. Like, she can't eat that stuff. And it's just.
Yeah. And at least he had the milk. I was like, oh, and that was lucky.
I feel like that hit home more than anything else in this movie.
It's like the end of Signs.
It all connects.
And there's just like a
bunch of. Away, Joker.
There's just a bunch of like really small things that. It doesn't do any like hacky movie shit. Like, there's that scene when he's first approaching the second or whatever, the unit he's looking for.
Yeah.
And they're singing that song. I think it's called Jerusalem or something like that.
And
it's like a big like English song.
Yeah.
Like, I think they sing that like when they play like the soccer games and stuff. You just see all the faces and they're all so incredibly young.
Yeah,
like they look like
They focused on the faces to show that it was all children.
And it's like 16, 17, and like a lot of them just lied too. I mean, they were like 14 years old and they said they were 16.
I mean, they were lying into World War II as well.
Oh yeah, I mean,
to fight for your country is like the greatest honor.
I mean, they're 14 years old. And it's like, yeah, Jesus Christ,
your life has barely begun
to sign up for something like that. By the way, I sort of mentioned it a little bit before on the pod. That HBO or the documentary that's on HBO, the Peter Jackson one, They Shall Not Grow Old. If you like this movie at all and haven't seen it, would 100% recommend it. It's fantastic.
Okay. I might check it out then.
On HBO Go.
Okay.
So, did you guys like... I really liked how everybody they went into met pretty much was like the A-list actor. And the two main guys are just totally like anonymous.
Yeah, I like that. It helped. It helped with the fake out.
It helped.
It helped with that fake out halfway through. Like,
well,
what was the fake out?
Just like how the main character was like portrayed as the secondary, because like everything was happening to him. Like the place collapsed in on him. He stabbed his hand on the barbed wire.
You think he's gonna die?
Yeah.
I thought he was gonna die too when he collapses in.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, after he cut his hand.
Oh, yeah, I was like,
he falls into that dead body with his open cut in his hand. I'm like, oh, he's going to get sick.
Oh, yeah, I was like, he's going to get sick. But then I was like, wait, they said it was going to take like 6 hours to get there. Nothing's going to happen in 6 hours. It might start like to hurt or get irritated, but like nothing bad's really going to happen in 6 hours. Yeah. So I was like, what's going on, movie?
Honestly, I thought the milk was going to do him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was, you too. Know.
What a wild thing, though. Just like creeping behind enemy lines and just going for some raw and pasteurized milk.
Yeah, but it's the best milk you've ever had. I mean,
but I'm sure. A lot of people in England probably at that time like drinking the unpasteurized raw milk.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, but also think what you've been eating for the past however long you've been enlisted.
Oh, yeah, and you're digesting and
like,
that.
Yeah, and you you look at the milk and you're like, oh, sweet Jesus, this is the best. You're going to drink it. Like, it's going to taste amazing compared to that MREs.
I think he did drink it, right?
He did, yeah.
But the plane interrupted him, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, man.
You never fucking help the prisoner. You just shoot him.
Yeah.
God damn Let him burn. How many people do I need to see die in a movie because of this?
John, solidly.
When does the prisoner help?
Never.
Because, I mean, look at Saving Private Ryan. Look at
Saving Private Ryan, yeah.
That's all you got to say.
John's solidly anti-Geneva Convention over there.
Look, we washed for supper. I don't care. Just shoot him. Those guys who were right.
It's war, dude. It's war.
Do you know, by the way, that guy doesn't actually speak whatever it is? Because they're actually talking. Yeah, they're talking in Czech, saying that they're Czech, not Germans. They're in like the Ostropen or whatever it is. Uh-huh. Just like those Korean guys.
The what?
There were Koreans who were like, because they had like the Koreans had fought Japan and got conscripted into the Japanese army and then got conscripted into the Russian army and then got conscripted into the German army because like they all fought each other and took each other like prisoner.
Oh.
So there were Koreans like fighting on D-Day.
Oh, jeez.
That's just a crazy one. But I love war movies, man. And it seems like I'm going to call this movie a teens movie, even though we are in a new decade. But there was this weird sort of like between, I don't know, Gravity, maybe even Dunkirk, and like this, where it's just very like focused of like, okay, we're just going to go from like one side to another, like one very just singular journey.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it's pretty much about. Like, I don't know, like, I feel like, I guess my larger point of that,
simplifying,
like, you don't have movies like that like 30, 40 years ago for whatever reason.
Especially war movies. War movies are typically more ensemble movies.
Yeah, they're always those, you know, two, oh, what's the name?
Cornelius Ryan.
Cornelius Ryan. I was going to say Von Ryan. That's a different war movie. The only good one, the one with Frank Sinatra. So that's, I don't know, it's just, you never see war movies like the other way anymore, but this kind of version, it's kind of cool in its own way.
Mm.
It's something I haven't seen before.
It was nice. It was artistic, and I loved it.
Artistic, well done.
Really puts you in the shoes of like the doughboy.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, it's so small scale, it's so small, it's just laser focused, that you kind of get the feeling what it was like to be them, where it's like, you have no idea what's going on. You just know what's going on with you.
Yeah.
You're part of something bigger, but you don't know how you fit into that.
Like, you know that the Germans had recently were in those trenches, but you don't know how recently. I mean, they kick over that ash bucket and it's still very, very hot. You
see the coals.
Yeah. And they're like, they just left. Like, it's crazy.
I gotta admit, the one part that I like really, really enjoyed was when Andrew Scott showed up as that like lieutenant right before they go over the wall. Over the top.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just like bitching about, like, it's like he came like straight out of like a like 2018 like pub in like London. Like with the hat and everything he's wearing.
And he like blesses them with the whatever he's drinking.
Whiskey or whatever.
Like, honestly, I could have spent the next hour and 45 with that guy. Yeah. And been just
he seemed fun.
Oh, man. No, I really hope this wins something.
Oh, it'll win Oscars. Something.
Oh, it'll win. I'm guaranteeing you it will win cinematography.
Oh, yeah. God,
I was thinking, like, will this be... It's nominated for editing, probably. Will it win? But then again, was there much editing?
That's the thing. It's all, like... It's not real. There's no sort of... art to the editing. It's like a technical thing.
Yeah, because like, usually, like, when if you're trying to do it all in one, because
editing and like should be no sound editing anyway. Are usually goes to war movies. Whereas this one, I would probably give this one of the two sound categories. Would probably win one of them.
Probably, but cinematography.
Cinematography from what I've seen, this is probably the best cinematography of all movies of last year that I saw. But I mean, editing, it's tough because it's a one shot, but like that might put it over where it's, you can't really tell what is the constant and what's where the cuts are. So that might add to it.
Yeah. So we'll find out in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Oscars is coming February 9th.
Yeah.
Nominations on Monday.
8:18 a.m. Eastern time.
We don't really have to talk about the nominations actually come out, but I'll say this. I don't think there's going to be a single Best Picture nominee of a movie that I didn't really like.
True.
Like, I think most years there's at least two or three movies that I really like, either are like meh or don't care for.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's going to be a single one this year.
Do you think they'll do full 10 this year?
It could be. I haven't come across a year where it makes sense yet. I mean, until now.
Okay.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I guess I'm saying if not now, when?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, ratings for this movie?
I gave it a 9.1.
9.2.
I'm going to go 9.2.
And Sam, you were 9.1.
Yeah, 9.1.
Because we basically were exactly the same, all of us.
I think we all really enjoyed this movie.
We did.
So, where are we, 31? Okay, why don't we do...
We got the news and the trailer.
The trailer,
Jesus. All right, breaking Star Wars news this week.
All right, go ahead.
Because according to J.J. Abrams... my guy, Nian Nub.
Yes, R.I.P. I heard about this. Yeah.
Died in the Battle of Exegol.
Right? What the hell?
Yeah.
It was just a blink. Killed him off. Yeah, blink and you see it. Once again, another instance of them just shitting the bed with classic Star Wars characters.
Well, Nian he was in Nub? One movie.
but he became a fan favorite.
He was...
Nian Nub.
Yeah.
He falls into the cult classic style.
Here's the thing with Nian Nub. He was in Force Awakens. He was in The Last Jedi. And then he was in this last movie, but he dies. And they're just like, oh, yeah, it, right there. If you look in this scene, there's his ship. Let's not focus on him or even giving him a death or anything. Like, it's them taking... the classic Star Wars characters, and once again, not giving a shit with them.
Okay.
Like I said, man, three movie funeral. All right.
Counterpoint.
Go ahead.
Who gives a shit?
There are a lot of people who do.
apparently Sean does.
Oh, yeah.
There are people who care.
The main thing Sean hated was the horses in space.
I didn't say that was the main thing I hated.
Like, it's
the thing that I always associate with you disliking in that movie.
I can respect...
I don't know why. I brought it up. It was like a one-time thing. I was like, the horses. And you're like, that's all you talk about. I was like, this is the first time I talked about it.
Sean, I can respect you being like, yeah, those horses in space were kind of stupid. You freaking out about Nian Nub dying off screen?
No, I'll hang my hat on Admiral Akbar, Nian Nub.
Well, here's the... like, you have Akbar who randomly dies, like, out of nowhere, and they don't focus on it or anything.
Like, I barely Nian understand Nub, Akbar.
But Nian Nub does it. Wedge Antilles is in this movie for all of, 2 seconds.
In fairness, he was in 4 seconds of the original trilogy.
Yeah, but he was in all three movies, though.
That's true.
But the key to this is... it's not like this is like, this is Star Wars. We have to realize that there's so much lore, and especially when 30 plus years have gone by between when a character appeared in the original Star Wars and now, there's been movies, there's been there's been books, there's been TV shows. There's so much information about these characters that though I'm not one of these people who loves Nian Nub, there are a lot of people who do actually like him. Am I wrong, John?
What are they even? Are they Nubhubs?
I don't know. Right? But it's a character. But no, it's a character that is from the original trilogy that they realize. I know. You're all shaking your heads.
It's on a soapbox, man. Just let it go.
Yeah, let it go. No, it's a character from the original trilogy that fans associate with the original trilogy. They acknowledge, they know, if you're going to kill them off, give them something. Give them some kind of proper send off.
He died for nothing.
He literally died for nothing. And like they focused on him in two movies.
He kind of lived for nothing too, but.
Yeah, but you know what? He was Lando's co-pilot.
Like JJ came out and was like, oh yeah, Nia Nub, he like died years ago of a death stick overdose in a brothel on Nar Shaddaa.
That would make no sense since he was in the last two movies.
Well, you know, never mind.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I just like that, listen, this movie came out 3 weeks ago, and the director is still telling us about things that we didn't see in the movie.
Right, right, like,
that actually happened. And I can't. To someone matters.
He's trying to retcon things into the movie that he did not make.
Yeah, and actually Darth Vader was there the whole time, but he was invisible. And
so he's the Cloverfield monster.
All those Force ghosts were there. They were just there in spirit.
Yeah, no. It's a complaint that we've had in the past that they don't understand what to do with the original like trilogy. Mm. They're like,
what do you do with Nia Nub? He goes, that's it.
He speaks a language, actually.
Yeah, but he says one line.
No, he has a few.
He has a fish head. What are you guys supposed to do with
him? He doesn't have a... That's Admiral Akbar.
No, it's close enough to a fish head.
Yeah. He doesn't have a fish head. He just has a really big mouth.
No, he looks like he's got gills. Anyway, should we stay on your soapbox? New Mutants trailer.
New Mutants trailer, Sean. What do you got?
All right. So New Mutants. So we finally got a second trailer for this. It's only been 2 years.
This movie exists, guys.
Yeah. No, it's actually coming out May 22nd. Yeah. So we actually have I believe this is like what the fourth date that they've given for a release.
No, I think
this
it's three. Movie? I think we're only at three.
That's still sad. No, so it's supposedly a horror movie that has been horribly reshot multiple times because I guess they were going to release it, then Disney bought Fox, which got the X-Men.
And no, it got pushed back before that.
Yeah, it was pushed back. When we were talking about it, we were thinking maybe it was something to do with the Disney merger. I guess you would call it, and purchase of and addition of the X-Men, and but then there were reshoots, which was a little concerning, and then it's just like it's been way too long. But I mean, I watched this trailer, so between the time of the first trailer and the time of this second trailer, I've actually read some New Mutant comics, so I like kind of know what like something that's going on here. So, based on what I've seen in this trailer and what I've read in the comics is there is a mental asylum with a bunch of like really bad people. It's called Raven Rock or something like that. But like it showed up in the comic books with Carnage. And it's like the whole point of the land is it's like it causes your greatest fears to basically kill you. And so like that makes me think that this asylum is that one from the comics. But like I'm not 100% sure. But then like. So big reason why I read New Mutants.
Okay, all right, we can't go this long.
Well, because you guys don't know anything. You guys know nothing about it.
This is going to be a $50 million movie.
Taken.
Yeah,
they already wrote this off as a loss.
Well, no,
I'm just trying to break down the trailer that I saw. Like the problem with this thing is nobody really knows anything, and if they had introduced it when they did, early on when they did, it probably would have been fine because people were still like, ooh, it's X-Men. But the problem is we're 2 years later and we're still trying to dissect a trailer, a second trailer now.
I think there's only one of us trying to dissect a trailer.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay, so you three aren't. Other people who like comic books are.
I guess. I mean, anybody.
We are the Knights of Nerditude, after all. We like nerd-based stuff, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm not going to dissect this, only in the sense that. But
we know nothing about this, and they've done so many reshoots. I know the characters. That's it. I only know the characters, and I actually am a little excited to see magic in movie form, but like.
Sean, none of this is going to bring Nia Nub back, all right?
All I'm saying is, like. when they first announced this, I was intrigued. I didn't know much about it. 2 years later, now that we get a second trailer and it's actually happening, people, I know more, and I'm more like, I have more questions that probably will never be answered.
Are you not going to see this?
I probably will see it.
There you go. So you love it. The reason why people go see this is because they love the X-Men. It's
right, but it, like, it's like kind of like part of me is in the same boat as why Sam wants to see Cats.
Yeah, we're gonna go see Cats
just to see how big of a garbage fire
exactly
it is.
Like, because I mean,
I doubt it's as bad as it would have been. I would have gone to see it. If
no,
it was
I
still.
I guarantee you, this is going to be worse than whatever the first cut was.
Really?
I guarantee that.
He'll be great if they show both.
They won't. Because just
side by side, double the amount of screens it's on. It's just like,
yeah,
that would be fantastic. You know what?
$20 million.
I really do hope at some point in the future there is a release where it's this is this cut, like,
yeah,
Justice League, but this is also the Zack Snyder one.
I like director
time,
cuts.
At the same time,
let's
sell
this.
Just. Why not?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Why not? It's like pro wrestling at the box office.
Yeah. Honestly, like, I would prefer to watch a director's cut of a movie than the final cut, because I want to know what the director wanted out of his film.
That's, you know, sure. It's,
I like.
Speaking of directors, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse,
yes,
whatever.
Yes.
His director.
Yeah. Derrickson.
Derek,
creative differences.
Save this one.
I
mean, he's staying on as an EP. So
yeah, but
that's probably just in the contract.
Yeah, it's like a writing thing or whatever.
Mm. But the thing, I think they haven't even started shooting yet. I think it's just script writing at this point, right?
He was
I'm
the
not
one who.
Super worried, to be honest,
I'm not worried either. I think it's so early in the game that you can change directors at this point. It's not going to change.
It's like Doctor Strange.
He was the one that was tweeting about this movie a while ago. Basically, like, it was a picture of Doctor Strange and Namor, the Submariner. But like, it was that, and like, it was like Doctor Strange 2, and like, getting people's hopes up. So like, I felt like this guy, he was excited to do Doctor Strange 2, and so it got me a little excited that there was a director that liked the material. And
I mean,
liked
he did Doctor Strange
and,
1, so.
He's going away from the Feige method. I bet you Feige has certain parts that he wants.
I don't know.
And then he's not going to touch upon
it. I don't know. That's
we'll never
that's
know.
Been the
we'll
problem
know.
With Marvel is we don't have... That like litmus test, basically saying like what's good, what's bad, like for Marvel, like, oh, this was, you know, definitely not what Marvel wanted, and like kind of,
I mean,
like Solo.
Let me put it this way: this doesn't feel like a Patty Jenkins and Thor 2 kind of situation.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
This feels agree. Like they were very early on in the script writing process, and he was just like, "This really isn't the movie I want to make." So. Maybe you guys.
It's fucking Doctor Strange. Like, what?
Yeah. But, like, this. What else has this guy done? I mean,
I don't know.
He's done, like, what, the Conjuring movies or something like that?
It's a good question, Sam. And it'll have to be answered another day.
Yeah.
Because we have year end stuff, or was there anything
yep,
else?
Yep, nope, year
okay,
end. Let's year, go end. To year end.
Well,
it's going to be a lot simpler.
2019
this year.
Was definitely a year.
It was. You could say it was the year after 2018.
It was the year before 2020.
That is true.
Highest never numbered year ever.
Yeah. To finish.
Mm, yeah.
What? Oh, to it. Yeah. Front to back.
Oh my goodness.
All right. So we've prepared for y'all a little list here, and we're not like as a group coming up with an award, right? I keep thinking you're like pointing at me.
No.
My,
so these
my
are individual.
Okay, this is just how we feel.
How we feel. Yeah. One movie or one actor or actress.
So we have, Sean, would you like to introduce it? Or?
Yeah, sure. So
we start off with the...
Well, give an overview. So I separated it into two categories. I got your Golden Shatner Awards, which are like our best movies, best of everything. And then I also have the Aluminum Jar Jar Awards, which is obviously we know aluminum is the cheapest of all the metals, and Jar Jar is probably fan-wise the least liked character in Star Wars. So...
Not Nia Nup.
No, it's not.
Do we want to do best or worst?
We're going to start best. No, I want to.
Let's end on a high note.
You want to end on a high note?
Okay,
well, let's end on a high note. Let's do worst.
We can alternate back and forth.
Yeah. No, we'll just go around the table.
So let's go from the bottom to the top. Well, screw it. Worst movie. What is the worst movie? What is your aluminum Jar Jar of the year, Sam?
I'll start. This was surprisingly hard. This was a good year for movies for me.
It was.
But I went with Star Wars Rise of the Skywalker.
Okay. Right. Chris?
I went with Rim of the Fucking World.
Okay, yeah.
I too went with Star Wars. Just
and
garbage.
I went with the movie that wasted my time, In the Tall Grass.
Ooh, yeah, good call.
Okay, that's right.
Because nothing happened in that movie.
I only watched like 5 minutes of that movie. Yeah. So no, I hardly count that as a watch. Although yeah, I feel like I saw it.
For I guess for our purposes, we're doing movies and TV. We have to have watched all of it, or at least the majority of it, to have it count.
That's fine.
One of mine technically not, but...
Okay. We'll see.
Okay.
All right, so... No, we'll go backwards now. So, worst actor. I went with Anthony Mackie in Io. Because he angered me and made me afraid that he couldn't carry anything. He was bad.
We've talked about this earlier. So, John? I don't want to rehash this.
Well, worst actor for me was, and it's just a very specific scene in The Irishman, but Robert De Niro beating up
the guy on the street.
Grocer.
Oh, the guy on the street? Like, that was an awful scene.
He looks 70.
It's not, I say worst it's actor, just, it's not even really on him.
It's the way the scene was done.
Yeah,
he does this thing like an old man does, where like you hold your arm or whatever, when you're, like kicking somebody.
Yeah,
it didn't look good. No. I thought he was okay otherwise in the movie, but that has to be.
My worst actor was David Harbour in Hellboy.
Ooh,
yeah, okay.
Made that mistake and watched that movie.
Can you give us a 3-second review on Hellboy? Did we do that already?
Yeah, it's awful. Don't watch it. The movie should never have been made.
All right, Sam.
All right, my worst actor, Asher Angel. Who played Billy Batson in Shazam? It's not that he had that bad of a performance. It's just him and Zachary Levi just didn't match their two performances, even though they're the same person.
Yeah,
and I just enjoyed Zachary Levi in that movie, and I didn't enjoy him.
All right, I respect. All right, worst actress. We'll change things up. Chris,
Millie Bobby Brown in Godzilla.
Okay.
Yeah, I think she just had a bad year. All together.
Really?
All together.
I thought she was the worst part of that, not the dad.
I already chose my worst actor. This is actress.
All right. It's Sam.
I thought the mom was worse.
But... Sam, who's your actress?
No.
Mine, Catherine Newton, who is the female lead in Detective Pikachu.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh my God.
She's terrible.
She's so bad. Did you see that movie?
Yes.
Okay.
I saw that movie.
All right. Oh, 100%. Damn it, Sam. I should have known that.
John?
Carrie Fisher.
Okay.
You know what? Wow. You don't need to say anything else.
It's an honor grave.
You don't need to say anything
else. I went with Anne Hathaway in Serenity.
You could pull a lot from that movie.
Yeah, I know. And like, I was going through the movies, I was like, oh my God, she was terrible in that movie. Like, she was hamming it up the whole time. It was bad.
Can we go to worst
director?
Can I go first?
Sure,
go ahead.
Stephen Knight of Serenity.
Yeah, there you go. John?
JJ.
Sam?
For this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this is the only one he's in. Star Wars. So.
Yeah.
Here's the one I didn't see, but I will see this eventually. And oh, how the mighty have fallen. Tom Hooper.
For Cats. Which is not about the deli.
And I also went with J.J. Abrams for Star Wars.
Worst new TV show I could not possibly avail. Actually, you know what? I'm giving... Worst TV show I want to give to the concept of having to learn another dumb universe and give it jointly to Carnival Row and His Dark Materials. Okay. But His Dark Materials actually seemed like sort of well done, just not interesting. So, Carnival Row.
Okay. Chris?
Batwoman.
Wow. Ooh. Okay. Sam?
I went with Carnival Row too because it's just dumb.
I went with the show that had me till the end of the first episode. Evil! You have to say it like that because, no, Evil was awful because, I mean, it looked good until the very end when it was...
It loses you.
Yeah.
I've watched about 6 episodes. It loses you.
I once they did that reveal at the end, I was like, and done because it's going to turn into that kind of show. All right. worst returning TV show, Sam?
So, the problem with returning is, like, if I don't like the show, I'm not going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't think of anything. So in lieu of that, I'm just going to trigger Chris and say The Expanse.
Fuck you, Sam.
Good you. Choice. Good choice.
Chris? You really, it's really one of the highest rated TV shows on the internet, and you guys are all harping on it.
Oh, it's on the internet?
Oh, this is exactly what I wanted to happen.
Jesus Christ, Sam. I could throw this bottle at you right now.
Chris, what did you say? This is your chance to...
Worst returning show. It's the second... Well, it only... The second half was in 2019. Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm.
Became too campy.
John?
So, this is more just like, I gotta just trash this show.
Okay.
Because, like, this has been... This isn't the first year this has been a problem. It's been like this for 4 or 5 years now.
If you say The Expanse, man. I'm gonna crack this bottle over everybody's head in this room.
I'm talking about a great show of analysis and psychology and trying to figure out what makes people tick.
Better Call Saul.
That has been boiled down into a bunch of, like, focus grouped, fucking special feature, like, garbage, emotional stories. I'm talking about Shark Tank. Shark Tank used to be a show where they would go in and be like, okay, your company's not worth this, it's worth this because of this, and, like, actually, this is a horrible idea, or this is a really good idea, you're just doing it wrong. And now it's like, oh, I've overcome this obstacle in my life, and this one, and this one. It's just...
No, you're 100% right, though. The show's ruined. You're so right. The show's not been getting better. It's been getting worse.
All
right,
and my worst returning show, I could have said something that might have set people off, but I didn't. So I went with The Twilight Zone.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair enough. How many episodes have you seen?
I only watched the one and was like, this is garbage. Mm. It was the comedian one, and that was bad. And then I saw the reviews for the next, like, five, and they were worse. So it just got worse from there. So,
you know what's getting better? American Greed. Sorry, I'm on the business thing now. Hold on.
I'm not, like, a habitual viewer, but everyone I see is great. And they're always fire, in Florida.
Their fire American Greed was awful.
Oh, was
comparatively
it?
To the, oh, you know, to Chris, the two we had the two actual, like, movies, actual documentary right. type things. All right, moving all on. Right,
now we're on to the Golden Shatners. We're going to start with, I guess, the big award.
Well, best you want to start bottom with, up?
Okay,
bottom
let's up. Go bottom up. See, that's what I wanted to do beforehand. But all right, so bottom up. So let's start with best returning TV show. Anybody want to start?
The Expanse.
Was that really your best?
Yeah. That's
oh, my God.
It's the best returning show. I really don't understand why you don't. It is so in your wheelhouse. It's not even funny. You have one episode. And of course, when you three watch it together, of course it's not going to be good. If you watch it alone, I bet you you'll like it more.
Oh, man.
Three in a room is what makes the Star Wars Christmas special happen.
Valid.
It should never have been made, but if you three are together, of course it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Let's do the room.
How else am I supposed to notify Tobor?
Tobor, it's robot backwards. Anyways, John?
My top returning television show is Succession, which had an incredible first season and pretty much a perfect second season.
All right, Sam?
I went with The Crown.
Hmm.
Just still chugging along.
That won a bunch.
Job.
And that brought, won a bunch of Golden Globes, right?
Yeah, and brought enough different elements to this season versus previous to keep it fresh. Not the least of which is, you know, Charles and Princess Margaret coming on board.
Yeah.
Or Princess Anne?
Anne.
So I struggled with this one.
This, by the way, season six of The Crown is going to be incredible. Between, like, the Prince Andrew stuff and now this week with
Harry Markle.
Do you think that too. Whenever you hear like royal news, you're like, oh, this is gonna make a great season.
I mean, they're so close to each other though. It's gonna be like back to back episodes.
Oh yeah.
Disclosure, sorry, Ryan, real quick. I'm sorry, I haven't seen Vikings yet, so I can't put that on my returning show.
Oh,
so
okay.
Just wanted to say that.
Anyways, for me, for best returning, I struggled with this because I watched a lot of new TV, but not really a lot of returning, other than like the three I normally watch, which is like Bob's Burgers and Superstore. So I actually, because this movie, I feel like got better between season two and this season, I went with Stranger Things. I think that this season was better than last. So
okay,
I liked it. Best new TV. I feel like this is going to be very quick to go around. So John, we all know your answer.
You know, I wanted to say Watchmen. I'm going to say Mando, just because...
Go Mando.
I had high expectations for Watchmen.
Yeah.
Mando, I really didn't know what to expect. And, oh my god, it soared.
All right. Chris?
I put two, but Chernobyl's like a miniseries. It's not...
Yeah.
So that, I don't consider that a thing. The Boys. That came out of nowhere.
All right.
Love that.
Sam?
I've completely forgot what I put. Yeah, no. We were just talking about it. Yeah, I went with Watchmen. Okay. But Chernobyl and Mando are both high up there.
Yeah, and I went with Mando because it reminded me why I loved Star Wars.
After the trilogy we just got.
Exactly. All right. Best director. Chris?
The movie we just seen.
Okay.
Sam Mendes for 1917.
Sam?
Sam Mendes.
John?
I just, too lazy to look up his name, the Chernobyl guy.
Okay. I went with Robert Eggers.
Oh, who, by the way, an amazing hat at the Golden Globes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Did you guys watch the Golden Globes at all?
I didn't see it.
I only saw the opening monologue.
Yeah, he had like a Quaker hat almost.
Nice.
I'm sorry. The opening monologue was fantastic.
It was hilarious.
Just great. Obnoxiously raw.
But I went with Robert Eggers of, he did The Lighthouse.
Okay.
Because...
Do you think they'll be nominated for anything? We'll find out Monday.
It's going to be such a tough year.
Yeah.
I thought maybe Defoe for like supporting, but there's too many people.
There's a lot going. I wouldn't be surprised if they are nominated, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're not.
Half the Irishman cast is probably fucking nominated for
supporting. I hope not.
I didn't like Al Pacino as much as I thought of everybody else.
We'll see with him, but you're going to at least get one of the two.
Hmm. Pesci, definitely.
Yeah. Alright.
Best actress.
I said Anna Paquin in The Irishman.
Okay.
Are you serious?
I
don't know if that was a serious answer.
No, that was a joke answer, but now that you're demanding I give a serious answer.
That was a joke answer. Scribble, 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 scribble. Come back to me.
Her four lines in the movie?
I just love the way she stared.
I guess I'll just
she was a $10 million stare, because I'm sure she wasn't cheap.
I guess I'll just give it to Florence Pugh in Midsommar.
Okay.
Regina King, Watchmen.
All right.
I'm seeing Little Women, I believe, tomorrow, so this answer might change for me, but I'm going with Olivia Colman in The Crown.
All right. Wow. I'm going with Laura Dern in Marriage Story.
Wow. You really think she was
that good? She made me mad. Oh, I hated her. Oh my god, I hate her in that movie. And you know what? If for a person who played Ellie Sadler, who I love from Jurassic Park, to that, she changed my emotions. She did an amazing job and made me hate her.
You should throw on Big Little Lies. Amy would probably like Big Little Lies.
All right. Best actor.
Leo.
Going Leo?
Yeah.
All right.
Eight whiskey sours, dude.
Anybody?
I couldn't decide between the two. TV, right. Andre Brower from Brooklyn Nine-Nine plays Captain Holt.
Yeah.
Or a movie was Adam Driver in Marriage Story.
Okay.
He's freaking great.
He
does movie.
Yeah,
he stole that movie, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. He was definitely the strongest. Sam?
Sorry, I just had a burp. I went with Daniel Craig in Knives Out.
Okay.
I think he nailed that part.
right. And I went with my boy Willie Dafoe from Lighthouse.
Ooh.
Because
Mr. High Regards, I'm curious what your favorite movie is.
I wonder what it is.
Favorite or best movie?
Can I split mine? Can I also give it to Adam Sandler and Uncut Gems? Fuck it. I'm just going to do that.
You can't. Anyway. Yeah.
That's fine. And the best one, best movie. I went with Lighthouse, obviously.
You did? Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I was curious about that one.
Yeah.
Can I do my top 10 really quick? I won't even do a comment. 10 Ford versus Ferrari, 9 Knives Out, 8 Parasite, which no one's mentioned.
Yeah.
Anyway. Marriage Story, Midsommar, 1917, fresh off the presses.
Is that third?
That's fifth.
Wow.
Lighthouse, Uncut Gems, The Irishman, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
All right.
Numero uno.
Oh, wow. Sam?
I was thinking about going with Lighthouse, but you know what? I think this deserves a little bit more love. Knives Out.
Wow.
Just,
okay.
It's just a perfect movie to recommend to people.
Now, are these? Is this best or favorite?
Either.
Either one. It's your personal opinion.
I guess movie. Best movie of the year, 1917. Favorite movie of the year, Endgame.
All right.
Yeah.
I can't not see Endgame for being the 22 movie saga that it is.
That's fine.
I just thought about this the other day. We've had three this year. We have three saga conclusions. We've had the Star Wars, Endgame, and
Game of Thrones.
We've had 1.5 good conclusions to it, and Endgame was the full one.
Yep.
So, it was a half Game of Thrones.
It was the first half of the last season of Game of Thrones.
Okay.
Because those first three episodes were in my opinion, really good. The last two was just kind of it wasn't as good as it should have been.
It wasn't until they were like, let's make everything dark. That was the downhill of that season.
What? Make everything dark in that episode? One episode?
Yeah.
Nah, that was sick, dude.
It was a good episode, but I wish it was a little lighter. It
wasn't a good episode.
Yeah, it was.
How was it a good... Okay.
We're
not getting into that.
All right, anyway.
Spent a lot of time on New Mutants.
Yeah.
All right, why don't we do...
So year-end reviews. So
do we have a moment of the year? Anybody have a moment of the year?
Like an oh shit moment of the year?
Yeah, like anything that you just want to recognize right now, like in anything.
Portals
was cool.
In Endgame.
Yeah,
that was when all the portals shut.
The last scene, yeah,
that's just amazing.
I really
like this year with the or I feel this year with the amount of shows, the number of shows and movies that have surprised me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That were good.
There were a lot of good TV shows.
It's what stands out to me this year. You know, you got Chernobyl, and then Lighthouse. You went, and you know, you guys love that. And then this 1917 came. I expected it to be solid, but I didn't expect it to be this good.
Yeah. No, it was a solid year all around.
Watchmen, The Boys. It's stuff dropped that was random, and I loved it.
Yeah, it was. I would say I liked more than I hated this year.
And, like, actually a very good supply of, like, good movies on streaming services, too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, there's been, in the past, like five big ones, and, like, one is good, another one is, like, okay, and the other three are garbage.
Yeah.
Like, this year there was actually, like, a half dozen that were actually, like, good movies.
Can I just say this? We got to give credit where credit is due. We got one DC movie this year, and it was decent.
Yeah. And it was, as I put it, in that episode.
Sorry, Sam.
What was the other one?
Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam and
Joker.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Not.
Oh, now it doesn't count. It's a $1 billion movie. It doesn't count.
Doesn't count for DC.
Is it? Wait, it's not. It's not
because it's not in the same universe as the other movies.
Yeah, whatever.
It's 1,000% a DC movie. How fucking
Joker came out and they were talking about three different universes for Jokers.
Yeah. No.
So. I mean,
it's not in the Justice League universe. It doesn't count. It's a one-off. So to go over, so our year in review, as I do at the end of the year.
By the way.
What?
Hot take, DC had a better year than Marvel.
No.
Captain Marvel and Endgame?
No. And Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Joker and Watchmen?
No.
So you're thinking, yeah, but then... Well, I guess.
And Endgame was the highest grossing movie of all time.
Joker is going to be the most profitable movie ever.
Is Watchmen DC?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Just saying. If you had to go back and watch
like that much content.
John,
it'd be DC.
John, let's put it this way.
And Shazam.
Going forward, which series are you? Do you have more confidence in?
I never. But that was not what we're talking about. Who had a better year? Who won the year?
Marvel.
Marvel.
Highest grossing film of all time.
No, just total all.
I'm just saying, like, together. That right there puts them over the edge. They have the highest grossing film
actually,
of all time.
Total.
Joker's going to win an Oscar. And I heard he won a Globe.
That's nice. Suicide Squad won an Oscar. Yeah. Are you saying that's the greatest superhero movie of all time?
I wouldn't be surprised if Endgame was nominated for some like CGI or something.
A real Oscar. Yeah.
Remember, though, and this has nothing to do with the hot take I just unleashed. Remember when we were like, man, maybe Endgame might get an Oscar nomination. And then just the year was like incredible with movies. And
yeah.
It's like there's no chance.
Yeah. I'm like, I like last year, easily. Easily probably could have gotten nominated.
Yeah, I think
this
it
year,
sneaked
no.
us, snuck in for sure. Yeah.
This year, no. So anyways, back to what I've been trying to get to. Our scores for the year. So this is the average of all the numbers we've been giving to you all year. So John, your movie at this for your year for this point is 7.0. Chris? You're 7.2.
Which is fantastic for me because usually by
usually
average
you're
is
in the
around
sixes.
Six.
Yeah. Sam, you are a 7.7. You are the highest of all of us. And I am a 7.2. I'm on par with Chris, which I think, Chris, you and I have seen the most movies in common with each other. We've had the most crossover.
Usually, mostly because our names are next to each other and I have the OCD thing and I have to fill in the numbers.
Yeah, so that helps.
Shazam, the Shazam hole is filling a massive hole.
That was early on, too.
On our list, yeah.
That was a good one.
I'm slacking in movies, though. I only have 25 movies this year. I had 38 last year.
Yeah. I mean, we're all close to 30, which actually, between Sam and John, you guys stepped up games for movies this year. So props for that. Just watch more streaming every once in a while.
Thank you.
Guys.
Watch more streaming.
They didn't really watch any of the streaming that we talked about this year.
Yeah. Hey, I was going to say we should be doing more movie
reviews. Underground. Oh, no, you reviewed that last week, right?
I gave you a quick...
Could I give my 2 cents?
Absolutely.
It looked pretty cool. I miss having like Michael Bay movies in like the middle of like Europe. Like that was a cool look.
Did you have a helping hand get you through that movie or...
Oh,
take a little bit of extra.
Oh, a little. No. Maybe. I don't know. I forget.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Michael Bay.
It was all right.
It's very Michael Bay being Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we all saw Marriage Story, right?
Right.
Quick hot take on that. I mean, I liked it.
Adam Driver was freaking great in that movie.
He was. And I absolutely hated... you know, because it was the purpose. Scarlett Johansson.
Are you supposed to actually hate her, or
I don't know.
Or are we just seeing that as men?
I don't know. I think we're seeing this as men because I was reading that the director is doing it based off of his own divorce
with Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yes. So I think it's more. We're supposed to be more from the male perspective.
She watched it and she liked it. So it's about them, and she liked what she saw. So
I'm sure there's some liberties in certain things, but I wouldn't be surprised if that is kind of what happens.
Yeah.
There's certain points in that movie where the director really wants to hit a certain point, and he hits it so well.
Yeah.
He really does.
And there were some great long shots, too, of, like, stories being told that were, like, where a character just, like, talks for, like, 10 minutes, and they were... beautifully done, and I loved it.
Really? I didn't like that Scarlett Johansson one in the beginning.
I liked it. The
I like Ray Liotta.
he was a dick, but I loved it.
Yeah. He's like, why did you get rid of Bill or Phil? He's like, because I needed my own asshole.
Yeah. Oh, man. And so that lady who goes and observes them.
Oh, creepy.
Okay, no.
So
see,
creepy.
It sounds creepy.
Doesn't sound creepy. No, it was presented to me creepy.
To me, it was presented comical because that actress is in the show Baskets, and she basically plays the exact same character, where it's like very soft-spoken and super awkward. So she's hilarious in that, if you like awkward comedies.
Yeah, isn't she like Zach Galifianakis' girlfriend or whatever?
They're not boyfriend and girlfriend. She's just drives him around and is like... her
so
representative from an insurance company.
She's the next Zach Galifianakis.
Oh, she's
the same in
every
movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty much looked like the same character, like down to the whole, like, oh, I think I rang the wrong doorbell. Like, I was laughing my ass off the entire time she was on camera.
I liked what Adam Driver sang.
Okay.
Sue me.
I really.
No, I definitely felt for both parties, but it's
a solid story.
It gets you angry. It is definitely a movie to get you angry.
Yeah, and I like a very like wrought emotional movie like once a year.
Yeah, and this was
it. This was it. This checked off my list. It's like that's this movie. Parasite's my weird foreign movie. Like I'm going through all of them.
Yeah, It was a good movie.
We'll see where it falls into this.
Because this is weird. Because this would be.
I feel like there might be
a lot of buzz for Irishman, but like this is also a Netflix movie.
Might be multiple Netflix movies. There might be. Best Picture.
I don't know if they've. Oh no, they had Roma last year.
Yeah,
they had Roma.
But that was only one.
So,
Roma was like.
Can we talk about this?
Yeah, go
ahead. Irishman and Marriage Story are probably the two top Netflix up for maybe Best Picture.
Yes.
Are they better than Roma? You didn't see Roma.
I never saw Roma.
Have you seen all three?
Yeah.
Sam, did you see all three?
What is the three we're talking about?
I like Marriage Story more than Roma, and I love The Irishman.
I actually haven't seen Marriage Story.
I would definitely say that Irishman
and I don't think Roma's bad.
Marriage Story are better than Roma.
To me, Roma is that literally is one scene. When she's giving birth.
Yeah.
Talk about a one cut.
That's all I remember.
I mean, like, I remember certain other things, but I don't remember like, really?
You
why
don't,
I care
You don't
about
remember it. Professor Lucha Libre?
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
That was my favorite part of that movie.
What? No, I don't. I remember that and, like, the car's too wide for the driveway. That's all I remember.
It's when she goes visit her baby mama, a baby daddy, and at that... Like,
oh yeah, the training grounds. And it's training. It's,
they call him like the professor, but he's like a lucha libre. And
oh, and he's
he's a luchador.
He's teaching him like karate or something.
Yeah, isn't he? He like just has like his mask on. And he's like naked otherwise, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, he's shirtless, right? He's, like in costume and
yeah, the weirdest sex scene ever.
I thought they bone and then he like puts on his like wrestling mask and like starts doing moves.
No,
like,
that's before he meets up with the
Baby daddy. That. This is not the professor.
Oh, that's a different. Okay.
He's like in it for like 10 seconds, but like he's memorable and I loved him.
Yeah, Roma wasn't. I don't think Roma was as good as everybody says it was.
No, I got bored.
I mean, it looked really good.
I got bored with Roma and with The Irishman. I never got bored, but I never felt anything.
My opinion of The Irishman, which we're talking about so many goddamn movies at the end here.
Mm-hmm.
But first time I watched it, I thought it was too long. Second time I watched it.
Second time?
I didn't think it was long enough.
Really? Wow.
I fucking love this movie.
Dude, wow. I needed to pause. I had to pause twice.
Question, what do you love about that?
You know, all the little scenes just kind of work really well. Like the one where he's yelling at Stephen Graham because he wasn't wearing pants. And like, it's just a lot. I'm just at the point where I just really
like when you reach the end of that movie and they're like trying to make you feel sorry for him, how his like daughter stopped talking to him and he's all alone in the world. I'm just sitting there like, yeah, but he's a psychopath. Why am I supposed to feel sorry for him?
Do you feel I don't think you're supposed to feel actually sorry. I think you're just like, yeah, this you end up alone.
Like the only entertaining part of that movie, and I wish it was just the entire movie, was all the scenes where he's just very calmly explaining how you murder someone.
Well, you don't want to use a 22 because it doesn't have enough kick.
I just like really liked those scenes.
Yeah.
I think there's a certain part of it too where it's like, because this movie's like Mafia Forrest Gump and just like, I mean, right?
Yeah.
So many parts of it are like interwoven into other stories that like, the whole thing of, like, they're wanting to invest in the casino is actually pretty much just the movie Casino. And then, like, at one point he's dropping off weapons for the Bay of Pigs. And the guy he's dropping it off to is Joe Pesci in JFK. I mean, like, it's... I don't know. It was funny on that level, but no, it's... I don't know. It's watching the little scenes. Like, I've thrown it on, like, just 30 minutes in and just watched it from there.
It's... I think
like, it's on HBO or something.
I think the best parts are... between Joe Pesci and anybody else in that movie. Any scene he was in, I thought was great.
Well, Sam, as they say, it is what it is. Or sorry, yeah. It's what it is.
I mean, like, that movie, I don't regret watching it, but I will never watch that movie again.
Yeah, I won't.
Yeah. I just have no interest in seeing that again.
It's mob movies. Oh, I forgot to come up with my list of top mob movies because I hate them.
I'm in the same boat.
I can't stand mob movies.
They're all the same.
No offense. It's just not my...
We to me, they're all the same.
I'm not offended.
My favorite one's The Departed, and that's about it.
Well, there you go. It's a good one.
They do nothing for me. Anyways,
should we wrap this up? Next week, we're going to be talking just the noms, probably.
Yeah.
Probably want to do our picks. We might as well, right? Or no, we'll have to see movies.
We could probably knock out, was it The Wandering Earth?
Oh, yeah.
Talk that.
Oh, talk about that. Fan of the show.
Friend of the show, Richard, recommended it. What is it? A Chinese?
It's the highest grossing Chinese film of all time.
Yeah. 700 million, I think.
It came out last year.
I think it's on Netflix now, right?
It is on Netflix.
All right. We'll try and bang that one out for our friend Richard.
Yeah.
So I guess that does it for us for this week. If you like all of our episodes, you can find them on Podbean, iTunes, Stitcher. Send us a message at facebook.com/KnightsInNerdtude. If you leave a review on iTunes for us, leave a movie, and we will review it on the show.
Yeah.
Whenever we have time.
Yeah.
So until next time.
LSU 38, Clemson 28.
Adios.
Bye.
That's too big of a gap.